Good evening, everyone. This is T.C. Tompkins coming with you at you at least another round of music and conversations. I want to do this disclaimer. I want to let you know that the views stated on this show by myself or my guests are there and theirs only and does not represent the ideas or principles of the station. These are their thoughts alone. So how's everyone doing this Sunday? I'm glad to be back with you. I've been talking to some interesting people this week. Matter of fact, I just got off the phone with one of our premier local artists, which I think is Mary Griffin. She has a new project coming out real soon that I think is excellent, and we're going to be previewing it here on the show shortly. And that is what we're here for. Matter of fact, if any artists out there have any material in the Houston area or anywhere else that they would like to preview on my show, I'd be more than happy to take a listen to it. I'm not going to tell you that everything that is submitted will be played or reviewed. We have a high standard here at Amazing 102.5, and we only play the hits, which I think this next record is. I want to hit you with a track from Mary Griffith's upcoming project called Goddess in the Making. Go ahead.
I'm a goddess in the making. Yes, my heart has been taken. If I can see it in my vision, I can also make provision. I'm a goddess in the making. Yes, my heart has been taken. If I can see it in my vision, I can also make provision.
He said, don't fall out of the airplane over any man. Keep your wits about you. Keep your mind and you won't go through. I listened to him. And I listened to him more when he left. On the day after my birthday, 1996, but I'm now a grown woman and I'm growing inside more and more every day. I feel it. It's a thing and I know it's real. It's all over my body, all through my mind. I understand the consciousness of this thing, this mess. So baby, I see things in color now. I read your aura and I know. Gonna put me through, yeah. I won't do it. You can't make me do it. Oh, baby, I'm there and I understand what you're doing. Get yourself back in your car, ride down the street and think about who this woman really is. She's a queen, and she'll never give up on this romance, up on this soul, man. Don't you know I love you, sweet baby, so, but I won't let you put me through. I'm a goddess in the making. Yes, my heart has been taken. If I can see it in my vision,
I can also make provision.
hot track. Very innovative. I love to hear this type of music from independent artists. I love to hear it from any artist. But it's an excellent project. Can't wait for the rest of you guys be able to hear it. She has four or five tracks on there that I'm really impressed with. So Goddess in the Making is the name of the project. Okay? So we're going to probably hit another track by Mary. What else do we have in the I Refuse, which is something sounds like the kind of music that we need to be listened to, because she takes on a bunch of issues in this particular track. Okay? So go ahead. Let's hear I Refuse.
When the economy is bad, we work for the government day and night. Children stay home and live in fright. What kind of world do we live in? I say it's controlled, and I say it's bold, but I refuse. I refuse. I refuse. Positive thinking is relevant, but I know conscious freedom is prevalent. The word change has been used and abused. Now the people of the world are confused. But I refuse to see our men locked up and thrown away. I refuse modern day slavery. And the streets, protesters on the rise, but I'm telling them greed is our demise. But I know that we will survive. I refuse to live on the road of hard knocks and lies. Oh baby, I'm telling you that I
Mary Griffin. Now, I wouldn't expect that track to be a big commercial track that we just played, but it was just saying something, which most of our music nowadays are not saying anything. At least she's taking on some issues in that particular track that we don't do anymore in our music. I don't know if that's more because corporate corporations got involved with music more, and there's just not that many more independent radio stations around. They're all owned by major corporations. Matter of fact, all of our news outlets are owned by major corporations, so what can we say? But that's an excellent project by Miss Mary Griffin. We're going to be playing some more tracks from her project coming up. You want to take a little break now? Take a break. We'll be right back with some more new music from Mary Griffin.
Yeah, what's up with that? Hi, this is Kim H., the host of Kim H.'s Camera Ready. I've been an executive hairdresser and celebrity stylist for over 30 years, and I have a love affair with being beautiful. The places I've been, the people I've been blessed to meet, have all been a gift. Come join me every Monday from 11 to 12 noon on Amazing 102.5 FM as we explore and discover together what it takes to be beautiful, to be you, and to be camera ready.
Hey guys, we're back. This is TC Tompkins and Music and Conversations again. We were premiering some of the latest Mary Griffin material from her upcoming project, Goddess in the Making, which I think is an excellent title. We have an excellent interview coming up for you guys later on this evening. I'm talking to Logan Westbrook, one of the industry's heavies. I've done everything in the industry from run sales departments to do the marketing and promotions, ran a label, matter of fact, for himself, and has done more than me, matter of fact. So I'm impressed. And some of the interviews that we have coming up, we're talking to Laverne Perry Kennedy, one of the ex-publicists for Sony Records back during my time. She's a socialite. She's going to get mad at me for saying that now, but she's a New York socialite now. She says she's retired from that. And we're going to be talking to Susan Blonde, who owns Blonde Inc., one of the premier publicists in the country. Matter of fact, in the world, she's out of New York. So we're going to be having more females on since I haven't been doing interviews but nothing but guys. So we're going to be talking to a few females. Like I said, next week is going to be Laverne Perry. And also Mary Griffin will be here in the studio with us to talk about her music, this upcoming project, which we're going to be playing another track from. You waited for the hit. She does a Gladys Knight track here. So you know you don't play when you mess with Gladys. So go ahead. Let's hear this new track from Mary Griffin.
Oh yeah, and I guess
getting it. Yeah, that's a great track. And you don't mess with Gladys, you know. So, like I said, Mary will be here next week. There are some other tracks in the project that I didn't get a chance to get over here to the station. She does an excellent rendition of Aretha Franklin's Angel. And everybody knows her, she wears some gospel out. I think she has a gospel project too. Is that my phone? I hope not. No. Okay. That's okay. Also, we're going to be having coming up, I'm going to be interviewing the world famous Ricky Anderson, attorney Ricky Anderson. I tried to get Ricky on a few weeks ago, but, you know, Ricky's schedule is a monster. I don't know how he does it, matter of fact. I think Ricky has clones. I really do. Because I see him at so many different events. He's involved. He's teaching. He's on the board of several schools. Got tons of awards. And practicing law. And representing a ton of other artists, too. And represents Steve Harvey and Yolanda and a whole bunch of other people. But he's taking time out to come on my little show. I really appreciate that, you know. I think also we're going to have, speaking of Houston artists, I'm going to have Chris Walker on, which I think is another amazing Houston artist. He's out of the country right now. Matter of fact, I saw on Facebook, I think, where he was coming back in, or just getting back in, or something. We're getting some feedback from something. Oh, God. Okay. Well, look, let's put Goddess on again. I want to play Goddess in the Making one more time and let you know how much I like this record. Okay? And we will be right back, and we'll be talking to Logan Westbrook in a few minutes. Okay?
Ooh, I'm a goddess in the making. Yes, my heart has been taken. If I can see it in my vision, I can also make provision.
He said, don't fall out of the airplane over any man. Keep your wits about you. Keep your mind and you won't go through. I listened to him. And I listened to him more when he left. On the day after my birthday, 1996, but I'm now a grown woman, and I'm growing inside more and more every day. I feel it, it's a thing, and I know it's real. It's all over my body, all through my mind. I understand the consciousness of this thing, this mess. So baby, I see things in color now. I read your aura and I know when nothing is not out of ignorance. I understand what you're doing when you look at me that way that you do. You're gonna put me through, yeah. I won't do it. You can't make me do it. Oh, baby, I'm there and I understand what you're doing. Get yourself back in your car. Ride down the street and think about who this woman really is. She's a queen, and she'll never give up on this romance, up on this soul, man. Don't you know I love you, sweet baby, so, but I won't let you put me through.
I'm a goddess in the making. Yes, my heart is been taken.
Concert 2016 featuring Tasha Cobbs.
Tasha Cobbs.
Wake up,
Kathy Taylor in Favor, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Jessica Reedy, and Stella Award winner Pastor Kimberly. Sunday, September 11th at World Harvest Outreach Church.
Doors open at 4, show starts at 5.
It's the Gigantic Gospel Concert 2016 with Tasha Cobbs and more. Your tickets now at ticketweb.com. Call them at 866-468-7621.
This is Megan Janice
and Tiana Lee,
and we are the hosts of Pink Talks. Pink Talks supports, uplifts, and empowers women through inspirational conversation.
So be sure to catch us every Monday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Amazing 102.5 FM.
Hey guys, this is... They're playing, okay. I got a little of Mary back again. This is T.C. Tompkins again, back with Music and Conversations on Amazing 102.5. I wanted to thank everybody for listening today. We're going to be going into our interview with Logan Westbrook, and I'll talk to you guys next Sunday. God bless. Logan.
Yes.
How are you doing? So you called in on me.
I'm doing just fine. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Hey, man, I really appreciate you taking our time to do this interview for me.
No, man, I thank you. And also, I want to congratulate you, man, because, you know, you and I, we never really worked side by side. But from afar, I have kind of, you know, observed and watched your career. And what really impresses me, how you were able to take your experiences from the record industry as an employee and become an entrepreneur and capitalize on it. So that's really, really great. And it's so many of our peers, man, have not been able to do that. So I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Logan. I really appreciate that. I had to take myself back to school, but, you know, that's what you have to do if you want to survive.
Right.
Yeah.
Reinvent yourself. Yes, yeah. That's it, exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Logan, man, you have such a rich and full history in the industry. I know you're from Memphis originally, correct?
Right. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you attend college?
I attended 2 years at Lemoyne College in Memphis on a scholarship.
Okay.
Then I transferred to Lincoln in Jefferson City, Missouri, and I graduated from Lincoln there in Jefferson City, Missouri, in business administration.
Okay. And you went from there directly into the industry? How did you?
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, I spent 24 months in the military, and then ended up in Chicago, Illinois after that.
Okay.
And it was just by chance that I stumbled into the music industry. Because what happened was that I, RCA Victor had a management training program there in Chicago. Well, actually, it was all over the country. As a matter of fact, Tom Draper participated in that same program in Detroit.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so he was hired in Detroit.
From Warner Brothers. Yeah, Tom. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I was hired there in Chicago in their management training program.
Okay.
And in that management training program, you know, you work in different areas of the company. And they had, it was more of a distributing company. And they were distributed Whirlpool washers and dryers, the television sets, the home entertainment centers, and records.
Okay.
So I just happened to end up working, training in the record division. And that's where I found my niche. That was the beginning of it.
You know what? I mean, and you know what? I actually got my start in management back in the day when they used to offer those type of, those type of campaigns, programs and things to train you in how to do that. Because I was in a jewelry business, matter of fact, before I went into the music industry. And worked for Zales Corporation right out of Dallas there. But anyway, so you started at RCA, and then did you move to New York with RCA?
No, I started at RCA, and I ended up out in the streets when the 8-track tape was first introduced to the marketplace.
Okay.
So I became an 8-track tape sales and setting up accounts, ironically, at service stations.
The
reason being was that Learjet, the hardware, was installed at the service station, and then we would set up a rack, a cardboard rack, there at the service station that actually sold the 8-track tapes.
You know what? I think I do remember that because my aunt used to have an 8-track tape in her car. And
it was installed at the service station.
Yeah. And you could get them installed and get your music. You could get your music there. It is strange how the industry has evolved and changed. Because I know it went from 8-track tapes there to wax and then cassettes and then CDs and now digital. And when you went on from RCA in sales, that's where you were with RCA in sales?
Yeah, I was with RCA in sales, the 8-track tape.
Okay.
And then in moving around in the streets, meeting other salespeople, I heard about an opening at Capitol Records where they wanted to hire their first black salesman in Chicago.
Okay.
And I applied for that job, and they hired me. So I was calling on retail accounts, primarily black accounts on the south side and the west side of Chicago. And, of course, to complete the territory, I picked up on quite a few top 40 accounts as well. Then from there, I did that for a year and a half. And then they had an opening in the promotion department for a regional position. And I applied for that, and I got that position. And now I was based in Chicago, but I was responsible for the entire Midwest and promoting black product at various radio stations.
Right. So you were the regional, basically, for that area back then. Because I don't know what they called
it. Right.
That's basically what that was a regional position.
It was a regional position.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And based in Chicago.
You know what? I mean, it's strange how our careers sort of developed on the same pathway. Because I started in sales with Stax Records. With Stax Records.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember back when Stax was trying to get into distribution and get into selling their own material, you know, because back then all people controlled all the distribution were the majors. And they were trying, and I got into, I was selling to retail shops and doing that and went from there into their promotional department. And and that's the same way that you started. You went to the promotion department. So you went from that. So how long did you stay in Chicago working with RCA?
I was in Chicago there at Capitol for one year as a regional promotion manager.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was transferred to the home office in L.A.
Okay.
As the assistant to the VP of marketing.
Mm.
And I guess I was out on the West Coast in that position at Capitol maybe for less than a year.
Okay.
And then I heard about an opening for a job at Mercury Records back in Chicago, a national position. So I applied for that position and I got it. So then we moved back to Chicago, and they're working on a national basis, the head of my own department.
Okay.
And then in less than a year, I got a call from Bruce Lundvall and Clive Davis at CBS. And so if you get a call from Clive, you got to stop. So I met with them.
Oh, I know that's right.
Yeah, and I found they were in the process that they wanted to do was to set up a black marketing division.
Mm-hmm.
And they were offering me the position to set up that department and to head it.
You know what? I must have came over there right after you because when I came there, LeBaron and Richard Mack was there. Was that after you?
Right.
Was that after you had left?
I hired Richard Mack.
Uh-huh.
And then right after that, I moved over into the international division.
Okay.
And so then I was working directly under Walter Yednikoff, who was heading the international division at that particular time.
Okay.
And then I was I ended up working out of the Paris, France office, and I was responsible for all of Black Africa.
Oh, man, I mean, you had a
but
dream.
I was based out of Paris, France.
You had a dream job. You had a dream
I
job.
I sure did.
So, man, you know what, because I think I came to CBS I guess it was when LeBaron and Richard Mack was running it. That was prior to you. You were gone by then. You were over.
Right.
You were over in Europe. So you've really had a full spectrum. See, I understand why you have your depth now, because you started in sales, you went in for marketing, and then you did promotions. So I mean, you've done all aspects of the industry. So you've got like a full training, because I try to tell anybody, it takes about 5 years of orientation in this industry. When you agree, Logan?
I certainly would. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean,
ironically, you know, it's amazing. When I was working with CBS Domestic, mm-hmm. there was a certain amount of racism which you were fully aware of, primarily in the higher ranks of most companies like that.
Oh, yeah.
Where you had to, supposedly your rednecks that were excellent salesmen out in the field, and they were promoted up to national positions. Mm-hmm. So that's who ran it.
Yeah.
But now when I transferred over to international, it was like night and day. Because in international, everybody in international had advanced degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in international spoke several languages. So this is who I'm dealing with here now. Complete different.
Yeah, it was. I spent some time in Europe dealing with Chardet. And it was a completely different game set. I understand what you want. Because I know, matter of fact, when I came to CBS, there was a big struggle between the sales department, which had always ran the labels, until the labels trying to separate themselves from the sales department. You know, because the sales department, the vice president of sales and the regional vice presidents of sales basically told the labels what to do. When I first got there, but the labels really started to, I found it to be a handicap basically because of what you just stated, because 95% of the sales staff, man, was old white boys that just really didn't have. That didn't have any kind of feel for the music or for that, or for the industry, and they had really basically dealt with rack jobbers and owners of local and regional retail outlets, and they were just basically order takers, as far as I could tell, you know.
Right. Well, they were actually salesmen, and they had been promoted up, so mm-hmm. they were running it.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah. No, I know exactly. I know exactly what you were talking about.
Amazing,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. It is amazing. So now, how long did you stay over in Paris? Or were you working with CBS International then?
Yes, I was. I did that for 2 years, mm-hmm. and then I had always been in and out of Don Caniz's offices, and we were good friends back from my Chicago days.
Okay.
And then that's when he and Dick decided to form Soul Train Records, mm-hmm. and they asked me to come over and work with them on that. So then, as well as the love for Los Angeles, because the first house that we bought in Los Angeles, we never did sell it.
Okay.
So consequently, we moved back to Los Angeles, and I got with Dick and Don, and that's the beginning of Soul Train Records.
And that
went on for a little less than 2 years. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was Don's money and the friction between Don and Dick. So Don decided, man, I no longer want to be in the record business. So he closed his label.
Okay.
And so Dick formed Solar Records, and I formed the something called Source Records.
Okay.
So that's where that came about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, and I remember Solar at one point was distributed through CBS. Source, was it?
Yeah. Originally, Soul Train Records manufacturing distribution deal was with RCA.
Okay.
And when the split came, Don took the few that was there on Soul Train,
mm-hmm.
and he remained with RCA for manufacturing and distribution.
Okay. Okay.
And then when I formed my label, Source, I got a manufacturing and distribution deal and some financing through MCA New Ventures.
Okay.
So MCA was my distributor and my manufacturer.
Mm. Okay.
And then along came, got this record in the mail from a guy named Chuck Brown and the Soul Circus called Bustin' Loose.
I remember that record.
So that was my first release. That was my the first goal for Chuck Brown, and the first goal for Source Records as well.
Oh, man, that's great. I mean, they had that sound. That was in the
and the my boy's movie, Spike Lee's movie, wasn't it?
Yeah. The go-go music, that really was the sound, was primarily was a regional thing than the Baltimore, Washington area.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it was strong in that area. So then with Shark, when I picked it up and we did it on an international basis, I just spread the go-go sound all over the world.
Mm.
But it was through Busted News with Chuck Brown.
Right. Yeah.
And then 2 years later, along comes Nelly.
Uh-huh.
He samples it. Now we have Hiding Here.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a good thing for me because that was that bridge from old school to new school.
Mm-hmm. I be. You know what? I didn't realize that sample was in that record until just then. When you said that Chuck Brown sample was in there. Okay.
Now, right.
Yeah. Now, Logan, you've written a book.
Uh-huh.
And what's the name of your book?
The name of the book is The Anatomy of the Music Business.
Okay. And I was reading my notes here, and you tell me that in the book that you have some areas where you deal with marketing, you deal with public relations, your legal and your digital publishing, administration, promotion, and education. Man, it must be, how thick is this book?
It has about 380 pages.
Okay. Okay, so you cover quite a few subjects in this, okay?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Well, now, my book explores the way things were for artists, writers, producers in the past, mm-hmm. and how they are today. And so readers are able to learn what worked best in the old model and incorporate them with today's techniques.
Okay.
And then they get firsthand knowledge from people who actually experienced it back in the day, and who are experiencing it now. So consequently, I have 30 different experts who have contributed chapters to this book.
I was looking
and
at
they
that.
Talk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And also, fortunately, I secured a commitment from each contributor that at the end of that chapter, I mean, I want you to list your email address. So if a youngster is out there reading this book, reading your chapter, and if they have additional questions I don't understand, they can contact you, and they all consider it.
Okay.
So each one, their email addresses are listed.
That is a brilliant idea, and I mean, it's always going to be helpful to anyone. I mean, this type of information is vital if you're trying to learn this game and be in this game. I was looking at your list of participants that helped you with the book. I see you got my boy Jay King.
Yes.
I see Jesus Garbarrell. Yeah, I see
uh-huh.
my boy Kevin Ross. Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people in here. Yeah, that helped with the book.
And you know, and talking to college students and things and young people, I tell them, now you may not know who Jesus Garbarrell is, but when I get into start talking about Jesus and
mm-hmm.
his career and the artists that he has affected, they should have let me.
Oh yeah. Zeus is a quiet monster. I mean, you know, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever known in the industry.
Uh-huh.
He just does excellent work. He's a good man. He's a real good man. You've got some good people involved in this. And Jay, I know Jay know it from both sides as an independent and as on a major label, so I've worked with Jay King.
And he lays it all out in the book.
Yeah, I've worked with Jay on a lot of projects. Logan, what were some of the acts that you worked with personally that influenced you the most, I guess?
Well, you know, it really started out with Elvis Presley.
Okay.
Back in my RCA days. And mm-hmm. Then, of course, moved on over to Capitol with Cannonball Adderley, Nancy Wilson, Lou Rawls, you know.
Okay.
Then some of the deceased acts like Nat King Cole, for instance, because there was a lot of product that was being released on him. And I dealt with Glenn Campbell, the television show, you know.
Okay.
Again, when I was in sales, I dealt a lot with Glenn Campbell. And mm-hmm. so this just goes on and on. And then the Modern Jazz Quartet, Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know,
yeah.
You know, the roster at CBS.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I heard that.
Michael Jackson.
Matter of fact, my friend Don Carter was telling me, he said, when Maurice passed, and, you know, Maurice was a Memphis boy, Maurice White, uh-huh. that they interviewed concerning him on all the TV shows right there in the Memphis area. Because, you know, I spoke to David Porter a few weeks ago, and I realized uh-huh. him and Maurice were born right down the street from each other.
High school buddies.
Yeah.
High school. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Man, that city is just rich. You know, it was rich with musical talent back in the day.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so are you back in Memphis now, Logan?
No. I'm still in Los Angeles.
You're in L.A. That's right. I got your number.
Yeah, we have a home in Memphis, and we get back maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Okay.
But I'm still based in Los Angeles.
Okay. Are you still involved with any members of the any part of the industry now? Are you doing this?
Not really. But now, ironically, going in and out of Memphis so often, and of course, you know, people hear about some things like that, and uh-huh. it seems as if there is still a lot of talent in Memphis, and they are being ignored, like even with David Porter, so you mentioned him. And a lot of people that have come to me, and I'll go over and check with David Porter, uh-huh. other people I've sent them to, but seemingly they're not getting any results. So I don't know, from an advisory standpoint, I might start dealing with it, even though all that stuff, it was behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm still dealing on the publishing side because I do have some publishing interests that I'm still dealing with. But again,
okay.
you know, that's no big deal on working with that.
Right, absolutely. Well, so, I mean, I know...
Then, Sufi, then another thing, I have always been interested in real estate, so I've been doing that all along, and I still have fairly extensive real estate holdings in Los Angeles.
Wonderful.
But again, it's all managed by other people, you know.
Yeah, that was a very wise move there. I mean, now, they was telling me that you, you know, I know that your involvement is still there as far as your speaking. Are you doing any speaking with your book?
Yes, I am. Yes,
okay.
I am. I'm going all different colleges and universities on that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, well, man, I mean...
And I'm able to tie my book in with those speaking engagements, which is very good.
Yeah, well, I know they're keeping you busy, you know, with the vast amount of background that you have in the industry. And matter of fact, I know that you shipped me a copy of your book. I can't wait to read it. I was hoping to get a chance to read it before we had this interview, but that's okay. We'll deal with that, you know.
I think you will enjoy my book and all those things you actually experienced and lived it yourself, so I think you'll appreciate it.
Hey, man, I appreciate your time and that you took to, you know, do this for me. I've enjoyed speaking to you. I'll let you know as soon as this is going to be aired. And
okay.
I wish you the best in anything that you're pursuing, and I'm sure you'll be successful. And may God bless and take care. Okay.
Okay. Now, certainly, thank you for allowing me to meet your audience. And then this book can be purchased on through Amazon,
okay.
And
they
can also go online, LoganWestbrooks.com, and it will lead you to where you can purchase it.
Great.
So it is out there in the marketplace and available.
Logan,
the anatomy of the music industry, how the game was and how the game has changed.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Logan. You take care.
Thank you,
TC. Okay.
Bye. Uh-huh. Bye now.
Ooh, oh my God, it's in the making. Yes, my heart has been taken. If I can see it in my vision, I can also make provision.
He said, don't fall out of the airplane over any man. Keep your wits about you. Keep your mind and you won't go through. I listened to and I listened to him more when he left. On the day after my birthday, 1996, but I'm now a grown woman and I'm growing inside more and more every day. I feel it, it's a thing, and I know it's real. It's all over my body, all through my mind. I understand the consciousness of this thing, this mess. So baby, I see things in color now. I read your aura and I know when nothing is not out of ignorance. I understand what you're doing when you look at me that way that you do. Baby, you're gonna put me through, yeah. You can't make me do it. Oh baby, I'm there and I understand what you're doing. Get yourself back in your car, ride down the street and think about who this woman really is. She's a queen and she'll never give up on this romance of